All right, well, let's talk some NBA finals here, Buck. Game four tonight at Madison Square Garden, 7:30 on ABC. The New York Knicks, of course, leading this best of seven series, 2-1. San Antonio coming off of the 4-point win in game three on Monday. It's the first time we've ever had the road team win the first three games of an NBA finals ever. So perhaps advantage Spurs, even though this game is at MSG tonight. The Knicks are 2.5-point favorites. I guess before we deep dive into the game and talk about some of the ridiculous extracurricular activities that New York fans are doing outside of the game, people would love to know, Buck, who you got tonight?
I got the Knicks tonight for 100,000 unit play. That's all.
Knicks minus 2.5 for 100,000 units.
Yeah, I think they're going to find a way to figure out what's going on. Plus, they're going to get the calls tonight. They're not going to let them. The officials aren't going to let them go rough shot like they did. The Spurs did the other night. And it wasn't really rough shot. There was a couple questionable, real over physical plays, but there was a lot. The Knicks just got beat up. They weren't expecting that from the Spurs, and they got their hats handed to them. So I think they'll figure that out, and I think they'll get the calls tonight. And it'll be a close game, but I think they'll win by four.
So you think Mike Brown's pathetic rant in the post-game press conference on Monday is going to pay some dividends?
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous, but that's what coaches do. You need every edge you can get. And if you had to start your post-game, news conference that way, get it over with, say it. It sounds stupid, but get it over with and then move on to what's really going on with your team. So, I just think that they will get the majority of those kind of calls tonight. You're not going to take Jalen Brunson and palm the back of his head and push it to the floor. That kind of stuff's not going to go. That's not going to fly this tonight.
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy miss by the officials the other night. And look, I said it. The Spurs definitely got the better of the whistle in game three. That wasn't the reason why they won the game. I thought they brought it to New York right off the bat. And again, they made the plays that they needed to make down the stretch. They led
for the entire quarter. In the first quarter in all the games that they've played.
I know. And that's like, I can't say that's a key for the Spurs. Of course, you'd love to get off to a fast start again tonight, but the Spurs have led after the first quarter in all three of these games, and they're down 2-1. So the second quarter has been the big problem for San Antonio. Yes. It's like if you could go into the half with the lead instead of just giving up all the hard work you do in the first 12 minutes in the second quarter, then you'd like your chances. But I mean, these teams, they're so evenly matched. I think it's clear and obvious. All three of these games have been incredibly close. I mean, San Antonio had a lead in the final 2 minutes of games one and two, so they haven't been blown out. Obviously, game three the other night went down to the wire as well. So, yeah, I think you almost expect, hey, fourth quarter, it's going to be a one or two possession game with about 5 minutes to go. In game one and two, it was Jalen Brunson and the Knicks who made the big plays. In game three, I mean, obviously, Wimby was fantastic, but, Stephon Castle hit that huge three late in the shot clock. De'Aaron Fox had the dagger from the elbow. Like, I'm not breaking any news to anybody here, but which of the teams can get it done in winning time? Whoever does will get the win tonight.
Yeah, and if they can still stay physical with Brunson and make sure that they don't let that guy get going. You know, 32 points the other night, 25 shots. I mean, he just haven't had a lot of clear shots, unless he shakes loose on a fast break or whatever. They've been on him pretty good. If they can continue that, I think the Spurs got a real good chance. They just can't let him get loose, where he has a good shooting night and high scores,
Yep, I agree 100%. And, the Spurs did a great job on Mikal Bridges in game three. He only had 2 points on five shots. Now, he was in foul trouble. That was kind of a storyline for the Knicks. And again, Mike Brown, he ranted about it. But, I mean, Bridges picked up some early fouls and only played 29 minutes, never really got into a rhythm. Jalen Brunson picked up his fourth foul with like 4 minutes left in the third quarter. So they kind of had to manage his minutes in the second half of the other game. So, yeah, that obviously benefited San Antonio. And also the Spurs did a great job on Karl Anthony Towns in game three.
Yes.
Like that guy was the finals MVP through the first two games of this series. He was a total non-factor on Monday because the Spurs went smaller against him. So I think Mitch Johnson, to his credit, maybe wish he would have made that adjustment a little earlier, but he found something a little bit to slow Karl Anthony Towns down. And if you do that again tonight, then obviously that's going to help too.
Yeah, and see if they stay with their strategy of having Wimby close to the basket instead of out worrying about guys shooting threes. Have blocking shots. Block your shots near the hoop. You know, see if they stay with that.
Glad you brought that up, because Wimby was asked yesterday, right, the day off. There's still press conferences going on with both of these teams. I think this was more of an offensive question, but Wimby was asked, like, do you want to be more aggressive inside? Like, is that y'all's goal? Remember, he started the game with, like, back-to-back dunks on the first two possessions.
Right.
So he was asked, like, okay, is that kind of the game plan moving forward?
I said the goal is always to go inside. You know, the best shot in the game is an alley-oop. It's the most efficient shot. But teams don't just let you do that. But I think what we've built with this team is that we've got an identity that makes everybody dangerous. And sometimes it'll pay off. And over a season, over a playoff series, we're going to get easy buckets and inside buckets like I did last night.
Yeah, that dude, I mean, that the one thing that team does is, you know, they'll turn it over and Castle and those guys will turn the ball over. We know that. But, boy, when they're throwing the ball high to this guy, they seem to have that timing down pretty good. You don't know if they're going to shoot it or is it a lob or is it a shot. You look up and you say, boy, that's a shot, isn't it? Next thing you know, you see these tentacles go over the top of everybody and slam it. They do a good job of that. You know, even that dude you can throw the ball too high to. I know it's hard to believe, but sometimes you can underthrow it or overthrow it. They seem to have that down. That, obviously, they played a lot of games together. It's been a short period of time, but they do a good job of that. I'll say that for sure.
I would do that 15 times a game if I was the Spurs.
Oh, hell yeah. If you can get away with it, if you get away with it, you know, 12 out of 15, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's obviously easier said than done, and you're not going to bat 1,000 trying that. But Wimby's also proven that he doesn't need to dunk it to make it. Like, he's got some nice touch on those little tap-ins to where, like, as long as he's kind of around the rim, he can just finesse the ball in there, and there's no real way to stop it. So, look, Wimby, I don't think it's a coincidence. Again, he can make threes, and I know the way the Spurs have played all year. He's not going to be back to the basket guy and play like Shaq. He shouldn't.
No.
But the fewest three-pointers he shot in an NBA Finals game was Game 3. He played his best game. He was super aggressive, and it's the one game that the Spurs won. So I like hearing him say that, yeah, that's the goal. Like, we realize those are better shots. Those are higher percentage shots. That's our goal. And hopefully the Spurs once again can set the tone with that. But it's not just the first few possessions. Like, do go back to that well all game long. And my God, Mitch Johnson, I gave him credit for it yesterday. Like, Wimby played all 12 minutes in the fourth quarter. He played he played 39 minutes, which compared to what he played in the regular season, that's a ton. In a game like tonight, a lot of people out there think it's a must win. I hate that phrase, but you'd really like to not go down 3-1 against the Knicks.
No.
Wimby's got to play 40-plus minutes tonight. If he's in foul trouble, whatever, it's a different conversation. You've got to adjust. But this is a massive, massive game for your team. This cannot be one of those games where you're, you know, post-game, you're looking at the box score, you lose by two, and you're like, man, Wimby was plus 10, but he only played 38 minutes tonight. It's like that.
Right.
He wants to play. He wants to be out there. He can. He's not going to die if he plays 40 minutes. Get him out there. Let your superstar carry you to a win. And give us a best of three series going back to San Antonio.
Yeah, and Fox has got to play well again. They still need him. I know that was the one game he really.
You say again, he didn't play well. He just hit a big shot. He was not good the other night.
That for him, any shot is a big shot for that dude when it goes through the hoop, you know? Because half the ones, any ones he throw up there in that three-point range, if you're the opposing team, you've got to be going, yeah, keep shooting.
He was 4 of 14 and 0 of 5 from 3. Again, 8 assists. It wasn't all bad for De'Aaron Fox. And that shot he hit in the final, 12 seconds, whatever it was massive. But, I mean, he was the only Spurs starter to be minus. In the plus minus.
He's getting in the games quicker and quicker. He's coming off. He's getting into those games quicker. And the quicker he can get in, the better they are, period.
I mean, I think Harper should be getting more minutes than De'Aaron Fox, truth be told. But,
of course.
I don't make the calls. And, look, De'Aaron Fox has paid a lot of money. Again, maybe it's the ankle that's still causing him problems, but he hasn't been as good as Spurs fans would like so far, really in the entire playoff run, but especially – in.
Yeah, they'll be doing win, lose, or draw. They'll be doing something about that situation.
Yeah, well,
when the season's over, they'll be in management meetings talking about that particular player.
He's making a lot of money, and I don't know if that's a contract that teams around the league are going to be chomping at the bit to add to their books.
Yeah, you're right.
So we'll see. They might have to make it work with the Aaron Fox. One more for Wimby. I figured you'd get a kick out of this one as a creator and owner of a fall school, the Bucky Godbolt Fall School.
Yeah.
Wimby was asked yesterday what he's learned so far throughout these playoffs. Not really a final specific or a game four specific question, just a, like, what have you learned about yourself through this first NBA playoff run that you're on in your career?
What we've learned, I mean, many things over these playoffs. Many things. Brace with your hands and not with your chin. Hit below the head if you do. And many other things, but most importantly, be relentless.
Yeah, dude, no. Do not use I don't know what your golf situation is like, but don't be using your wrists either. Your head's fine. You're okay to fall on that. Is that the worst looking? Look at bam. Oh God.
Brace like with your hands.
Oh my goodness.
Yep. Brace with your hands, not your face. Obviously, in reference to the concussion he suffered in the first round series against Portland, where he had that hard, awkward fall he didn't stop himself at all. He literally went straight face to court.
Yeah, you got to get that shoulder in there somewhere. You know, you can't take that face slamming into the court like that. I'm still surprised I got him break his jaw. His face hit. His lower part of his face and his jaw and his mouth, it's like he didn't lose all his teeth. And he's definitely lucky he didn't break his jaw. He may not still be playing in any games if he'd have broke his jaw.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, thankfully he didn't. That's tough to watch right there.
Oh, that is tough to watch. But folks, that's how the buck hits the ground these days. I don't stick my arm out there. I just go ahead and let the noggin. My head is hard, man. That thing just bounces up and just except for Wimby's went bam and went up and didn't go back and say, mine just kind of dribbles. It's like one of those slow dribbles, you know? That
feels like really bad advice for someone who allegedly teaches a fall school. You're saying don't protect your head?
Well, I'm saying you should. Yes, you have to protect your head. Even if you love golf, I just don't like dislocated stuff. I've had dislocated shoulders. I don't stick my arm out for that stuff. I don't know. I've always tried to roll to my shoulder in midair. You know, when I was at my best in my fall camp, I could do mid. I was almost like the Matrix kind of deal, where I knew I was in the air and I could make the turn and land more to my shoulder and back and my hip side. But these days at 71, it happens too fast, BK. The slow motion stuff, the clock doesn't go that way anymore. Everything is sped up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're not quite the athlete that Wimby is, huh?
What? Hell, that didn't look like it. That looked like it. That didn't look very athletic, that fall. That looked awful. That's one of the worst falls I've seen right there.
Yeah, it was not great. And you love that in the middle of this super competitive, intense final series, Wimby can crack a joke like that. No. And also, right after that, he's like, if you are going to hit somebody, don't hit him in the head. He's referencing the Minnesota series where he got ejected for throwing a bow and hitting Naz Reid in the face. So, you live and you learn.
He's also telling you, hey, you can get away with him, like what I just did to Jalen Brunson the other night.
He didn't say that. Huh? He definitely didn't say that. He didn't say,
boy, did I get away with one there. Wow.
But Wimby, for a lot of superstar players in any sport, it's like you almost have to fail before you achieve greatness. Right? Like you almost have to come up short in the playoffs before you can win a championship. And not everybody does, and Wimby doesn't want to do that. And he's three wins away from first playoff run winning the title. That's the ultimate goal. So it's like that was sort of the way the question was posed. And, I mean, he's, again, in the heat of the moment, he's still laughing. Yeah, he's still cracking jokes.
He understands the process. There's a lot of learning to it.
He ain't ready. He ain't ready to give it up. Like,
he's not. He would rather not go through the process. He would rather be superstar, win it now. Forget all that learning how to not break my face. You know, he wants the trophy. That's what he wants.
Yeah, I can guarantee you. We've played some clips from other superstars throughout these playoffs. When their teams got eliminated, it's like, Yeah, it was a great season, successful season. We're not mad. We're not disappointed. LeBron did that. Your guy, Joel Embiid in Philly, did that. And it's like, really? Like, you guys lost in the second round and you're talking like that? That's pathetic.
That guy's going to go live with the monks for 6 months if he loses.
Well, yeah, like Wemby, it's been an incredibly successful year for the Spurs. They're way ahead of schedule. We all know that. And if the Spurs lose this series, whether it's 5, 6, 7, whatever games, Wemby's not going to be like, yeah, no, I get it. Like, I'm 22. Like, no big deal. I'm 22. It's my first playoff run. Like, this is a great – he's going to be pissed. Yes. He's going to be pissed. And, yeah, like you said, he might go on some silent retreat in China again with the monks at the Shaolin Church to figure out what he did wrong and how he can fix it.
No, he's going to want to know how to fix it. He knows the process, but he doesn't want to give in to the process. That's for sure.
Yeah, that is for sure. So we'll see what happens. One more here from Stefan Castle. He was asked, hey, why the Spurs play well on the road? I mean, they've won some big games on the road. Obviously, Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals against Oklahoma City was in a ridiculously tough environment. Took care of business in a crazy Garden crowd, the first home finals game for New York since 1999. Here's Stefan Castle talking about why his team has played well away from home in this run.
I think just our connectivity. I mean, coming into environments like this, I mean, you kind of expect it. So, I mean, it's something you can't shy away from, especially with the, you know, goals and aspirations that we have for our season. You know, we knew that it was a must-win game. So, I mean, yeah, just focus on the things that matter throughout the game and, you know, not really paying too close attention to the crowd. I mean, they're going to be there regardless, especially cheering on their team. So, I mean, you should want to play in those kind of environments. I feel like that's when we play at our best.
Yeah, I mean, enjoy it. I mean, enjoy the scene at Madison Square Garden, a mecca of basketball. Enjoy it. Don't let that be a hindrance to the way you play your game. I mean, you should be excited. You want to destroy that for the other team. So that's got to be fun walking into that because you know they're hating every second of you being around.
Oh yeah.
You know, so make it just tough on them by beating their ass at their home.
Well, I say, I mean, I've never been a player at a level anywhere close to that. So I've never gotten to experience it that way. But dude, there's nothing better as a fan than going into a hostile road environment and watching your team win a game. That's as good as it gets right there. And all those Knicks fans who spent thousands upon thousands of dollars to go to like watch them leave disappointed. Again, as a fan, it's the cool thing. As a player, it's got to be the greatest thing in the world. Like, yeah, let's do that again. Like, I get why playing on the road motivates some of these guys, and it'll be another insane crowd tonight, and hopefully the Spurs can bring that connectivity that Stefan Castle is talking about that we saw on Monday and give us an even series. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen this, Buck. I know you don't spend a lot of time on social media, but maybe you watch TV. Maybe this has found your local news or found your sports center. But there's been a lot of videos that have emerged since Game 3 on Monday of Knicks fans, like, fighting Spurs fans. I mean, ganging up on them in the streets and literally fighting people because they're wearing a Spurs jersey. Like, New York fans are being exposed to scum right now. There were more than 21 arrests, fan arrests, after Game 3 in New York City, according to the NYPD.
What, are they turning into L.A. fans now?
Philly fans, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, Philly, whatever, like, and yesterday, thankfully, Spurs players and Knicks players, like, condemned. A bunch of guys were asked about it. What are your thoughts? And everybody with a brain realized that this is a joke. Like, it's sports. What do you do? You're beating up people. You're attacking them. You're ripping off their jerseys. You're bloodying
you got a jersey on.
Yeah. Like, people are, like, bloodied up. Some Knicks fan tried to light a Spurs fan on fire.
Come
after
on,
the
really?
Game. Yes, dude. Like, putting a black eye on a great series. I feel like I don't need a soapbox on this because my take is obvious, and anyone with a brain should agree that this is a joke. But come on, New York fans. Like, you can support your team. You can be passionate without beating up fans of the other team. You didn't hear any stories like this in San Antonio when there were Knicks fans all over the 2-1-0.
Absolutely.
Like, just, again, there's nothing we need to say. It's just, hopefully there's no more of that nonsense. I mean, the mayor of New York has come, like, so many people have come out and condemned this and said it's a joke. stop being ridiculous. Hopefully we don't have more
just
of those.
Just be a fan. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah. Thankfully, a spokesperson for the Spurs said the team hasn't dealt with any issues like that during their time in New York. I mean, they don't go around wearing Spurs jerseys, although Wimby's pretty recognizable. It's pretty easy to pick that dude out from a crowd. He doesn't have to. But, yeah, just the common man walking around trying to support their team. You know, Spurs fans are happy their team's in the finals, too. It's been a while for them. And
getting a butt whipping on the streets?
On the streets. You got fans trying to light them on fire, dude.
That is so dumb.
Bad bit, New York.
It is bad bit.
Bad bit. So there you go. By the way, Spurs fans are happy with you for taking the Knicks tonight.
Of course they are.
You did go 1-1 on your Gold Star locks in the NHL.
I was so up. I don't know how that – I'm thinking – I said the over's coming in, and you knew that. I you took a blink, and it was like 2-0 in like 15 seconds. I'm like, that over is in. That's why I asked you yesterday. Did that over went up to what, 4.5? Five?
It stayed the same. It's been 5.5 every game in this series.
Oh, they got to do that. Vegas isn't liking that for sure. The real Vegas isn't liking that. They're going to move that thing up. That thing's going up to about, should go up to 6.5. Hell, it should go up to 7.
Two of the best defensive teams in the NHL all year long. And yeah, 4 finals games, 4 overs so far.
And we're going back to Carolina now, right?
Yep. Yeah, you did gain 50,000 units. Because you had 200K on the over and only 150 on Vegas.
Yeah.
So could have been a great night, but Vegas lost. What a game. I mean,
Carolina not stop? Boy, did they just keep coming at you.
They jumped out to a 2-0 lead early. They had 2 different 2-goal leads. Vegas ties it at 3 going into the third. And then one of the coolest goals you'll ever see, Jordan Staal, the 37-year-old captain of the Canes, scores as he's falling to his belly. Like, he just kind of lost his footing. The puck randomly found him. It was near him, and then he was able to backhand it basically in a nosedive to the ground to give Carolina the lead. They put it away with a crazy empty net goal. But, yeah, this series has been awesome. And, yes, game 5 tomorrow. We'll get your pick tomorrow, but game 5 will be back.
I got to believe this is one of the better all-time series, finals in history. For this team, I mean, to watch this scoring, you don't get that often. This is nuts. This is like pregame, preseason hockey, where guys are just trying to get themselves on a team, and the goalies are things are going by them. I mean, there's so many scores here.
And in terms of entertainment value, I really don't remember a cup final that's given us as much as this one has. I mean, it's been great. It's been fantastic theater. The ratings have been crazy. Like,
I'm trying to think that will the scoring slow down once they get back to Carolina? I think the scoring only picks up, BK. I don't think it changes.
The first 2 games were in Carolina, and they scored a bunch of goals then. So, I mean, you've already got Carolina. They made a goalie change, so they're on their backup goalie. And Vegas's goalie, Carter Hart, is the first goalie in Cup Final history to give up at least 4 goals in the first 4 games. Wow. So he hasn't been at the top of his game. And it's not all on the goalies. There's just been some defensive lapses, and these are 2 really good offensive teams too. So, yeah.
You got to protect the puck. You can't have the puck come off your stick. And, I mean, some of these defensemen are the guys are getting breakaways and scoring goals.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of bad turnovers, and you let your guard down against either of these clubs, and they'll put one by you. So, it's been great. It's been an awesome series. Again, the ratings – I don't know about game 1 or game 2, but game 3's ratings were the highest for like a game 3 in the Stanley Cup in years. And I think it's because like word is starting to spread. Like, y'all better be watching this. These games are insane.
I know our friend Tom McKay gets this, he's been to Vegas to see. That's got to be a hell of a place to see a hockey game.
I still never
know. Those fans look nuts there. We know what they're like in Carolina. But they've got a cup.
Screw those fans. Screw them. Huh? Screw those Vegas fans.
You don't like them anyway. That's right.
Those pampered, pompous POSs. And they just haven't had any adversity. They don't know the game. They don't know puck. And they've been around 9 years, and all they do is make deep playoff runs.
I know.
It's ridiculous. I'm tired of them. pulling for the Raising Cane's of Carolina, because that's a hockey town, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh, North Carolina, man, that's got hockey written all over it.
Always has been. It's the Toronto of the East Coast, as they say.
It's going to be fun. This one will be that next one. I'll be looking at the over again. Obviously,
yeah,
it's going to stay at that.
So you're still down 700,000 units.
Yeah, we're good.
Even with your plus 50K last night, my man.
This is called a slow burn right now, folks.
Yeah, you've been burning the people for a while. Yes, I agree.
You'll be in the money when it's all said and done.
You have been burning holes in people's pockets for a while now. It's been slow. I agree. You know,
it's not like football. I know football. The hockey thing, I'm just kind of guessing right now. I know some of the players. I understand the game, but I don't understand some of these old veteran defensive guys that are scoring goals, getting fast breaks. I'm like, wait a minute, that dude's not going to make a move on this goal keep. This 6'5" guy. Yes, they are.
Well, that might be a fair enough excuse for hockey. What's your excuse for basketball, sir? Because there have been three finals games. You're 0-3 on your Gold Star locks in the NBA.
That comes to an end tonight.
All right.
Make that 200,000 unit play. Trying to make that a 200,000 unit play. Yes.
You're one of those guys. I double dare you. I double dog dare you.
Yeah, they're not gonna go back to back losses. They're gonna get every call. Tomorrow we'll be talking about, oh my God, do they have to get every call?
And we're gonna get a Mitch Johnson post game rant on the Zebras tonight.
Oh my God. Yeah, we're gonna get that.
Hope not. Hope not. All right, so there you go. Good stuff. NBA Finals Game 4, Stanley Cup Final Game 5 tomorrow. Both of these series continue to deliver night in and night out. All right, we'll shift gears. We'll finally get to this coaches list that we've talked about for a while. Where does Steve Sarkisian rank amongst the updated list of the top coaches in Power 4 college football? We got a couple of other Texas Longhorn nuggets to dive into as well. But before we go anywhere else, my man, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
Hello, gang, over at Sue Patrick with the incredible selection of Texas Longhorn apparel, collectibles, accessories, and even more. Tons of Texas-themed items, books, gifts, cards, a wide variety of men's and women's clothing. And, you know, they've got the championship T-shirts that the ladies had for softball. Boy, those are cool, that they put on right after their national championship win. They've got those available at Sue Patrick right now. Jay's expecting to get some hats in. And folks, Sue Patrick offers free shipping on online orders, $59 or more, free curbside pickup, and plenty of parking space at 5222 Burnett Road. Go on over and say hello to Jay and the gang and pick up not only your Longhorn gear, but pick up some of the great hats that they have. I'm sporting USA right now, but I was sporting my Longhorn gear yesterday. I want to get one of those T-shirts. The gray T-shirts are cool looking. That the girls had on after the softball national championship. That's a good looking gray that they had on. And they've got those over at Sue Patrick. Of course, don't forget Jellycat headquarters at Sue Patrick. For more information, 50 years of service in Central Texas, go to suepatrick.com.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of plenty of years of service in Central Texas, how about our guy Tom McKay and his crew
audio
consultations?
He's an oldie.
He's old. I don't know about good. Yes. No, he's good. He's very good at what he does. I can tell you that. And maybe the biggest hockey fan in Central Texas. But look, he can hook you up with the home TV setup of your drink. We're less than 100 days away from college football season, y'all. I mean, there's a lot going on right now with both of these finals and the World Cup and the College World Series. You should have already made the call to AV Consultations, but don't get into football season and be like, God, I hate my TV setup. Damn, I got to go drive around every Saturday to go watch my favorite team play. In-laws got the better TV setup. I got to go pretend that I like that. You don't want that. Don't do that to yourself. Audiovisual consultations, they can hook you up the way they've hooked both of us up. Bucky's got the 85-inch TV that he talks about all the time. I've got the 4-screen man cave that I talk about all the time. I mean, Wags and Rodney, the guys who fill in on our show, they got the AV consultations hookup. Chip Brown's got it too. They can do the same for you. TVs, surround sound speakers, whole home lighting, surveillance systems. Put a golf simulator in your home if you're about that life. AVConsultations.com. Go to their website. Check out the gallery of projects they've done over the years. Again, they've been around since 1988. And then when you're ready to change your life for the better, give them a call, 512-255-8678 for audio-visual consultations.
Love the folks here, of course.
Yes, indeed. And also a shout-out to our friends at Early Bird Golf Day, Buck.
Golf Day, I get my drops right after the show. Get my drops in my bottle of water on the way. Head on over from there, headed to get myself a Big Hat burger, and then I'm ready to go. That Early Bird, let me tell you, it's like I said, I've been going to, you know, I've got some doctors I've been seeing about certain things in my back. There's nothing going to do that but fixing. But the Early Bird takes those pressure off of my knees and my ankles, because I'll be walking around. I'll get 5 miles in today, BK, walking, even though I'm in a cart. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, I know, but still, I want to get my walk in. I want my legs to feel good after. I want my knees to feel good. And the Early Bird, they do the trick, and they do the trick for me for days. It's not just the day after. It's the day after the day. I still feel good after I take that Early Bird.
Open up, sir.
Oh, God. I've not done that straight down the gullet. I put it in. I mix it with stuff. I don't know if you're supposed to do that straight up. You may be allowed to, but I probably don't want to do that.
Now you are supposed to drop it into your favorite drink.
I do want to get to the course. Yes.
Yeah. But love the Early Bird CBD drops. Look, you want to feel good, get you a bottle of this. And who doesn't want to feel good, right? The end of a hard day, you put the kids down for bed. You just want to relax, unwind, and get a great night's sleep. Early Bird CBD. Trust me, I know all about that life. But maybe you're like the Buck. You're trying to alleviate some pain. Early Bird CBD. They've got the drops. They've got the gummies. Great ways to get the benefits of CBD, but also a micro dose of THC. Unlike some of the other CBD products that maybe you've tried in the past, this stuff, you're actually going to feel the difference. We're hooked on it. We've got friends and family members hooked on it. We think you're going to love it too. And how about a 20% off discount? Just go to earlybirdcbd.com and use the promo code Bucky, and 20% off your first order is yours.
Love it.
All right, Buck. You've been asking me about this for a long time. It's my fault. I've been teasing it, I think, on every show that we've done for the last 3 weeks.
We've had a lot of guests, man. We've been very busy. We've had a lot of guests. We have some great shows, so it's well worth it. We got plenty of time to talk about this, and we'll be talking about it more than just today, probably.
No doubt. No doubt. So a little Longhorn football conversation for the people here on a Wednesday. And the folks over at CBS Sports have released an updated ranking of the top Power Four coaches in college football entering the 2026 season. You want to start? Let's start at the top of the list.
Okay.
I'm going to have you guess for the first few. And then we'll go down and we'll talk about where Sark is, and we'll talk about where some of the rival coaches are as well. But number one, Kirby. Who do you think? Kirby?
That guy. That guy we haven't beat, that Kirby dude.
What?
Don't tell me Ryan Day's in front of Kirby.
I can't accept that.
I don't know who to go to then. Am I going to say, I'm not going to say Sark. That's too soon.
Google me.
Oh, Google me was going to be my number three or number two, I believe.
Google me.
Google me is still number one, the national championship coach.
Kurt Cignetti, the number one coach in Power Four, according to CBS Sports. Last year, he was ranked number 21. They do this list every year. He jumped 20 spots to the top spot.
In any poll, if you jump up like that, that's incredible.
Well, do you agree? I mean, do you think Kurt Cignetti is the best coach in college football at this moment in time?
I think Kirby Smart still is.
Man, I don't know.
Well, it includes everything. It doesn't just include on the field. I mean, it includes what your program is like right now. And, I mean, you got to hand it to Google Me guy over the last 2 years. He's been pretty damn good.
Like, look, Kirby Smart's got two. Kurt Cignetti's got one. So if you want to have Kirby Smart as your number one coach in college football, then fine. I'll live with it. But, Kirby Smart won at Georgia. Kurt Cignetti won at Indiana. The losing
You better put some respect on that Indiana name, and it ain't basketball. Come on.
Dude, they're the losingest college football team ever. Seriously, before he got there, they had lost more games than any other football program in the sport. They were never close to, I mean, if they got to a bowl game, it was a miracle. They were throwing parades in the streets of Bloomington.
Stat weekend, anytime I was at Illinois playing against them, stat time.
Stat time, even well after you left Illinois. Stat time until 3 years ago.
I know, you're right. That is stat time for them.
Like, as great as Kirby Smart is, and I don't ever, you know, I'll say bad things about the way he handles his program and all the arrests that they have, but like, I can't say anything bad about him as a football coach. As great as he is, I don't think he could have done what Kurt Cignetti did at Indiana. I don't think there's a coach in the sport who could have done that.
Okay, I'm not going to debate. He was going to be in my first three anyway, so I'm not going to. Okay. I won't debate that one. I think that's okay.
All right, number two, who you got?
Kirby.
Kirby Smart. Ding.
Okay.
Could you hear that little ding? Does that come through?
I heard that little ding.
All right. Number three.
Ryan Day.
It's fair. Those guys have all won national championships, so it makes sense to put them at the top of the list. They've all won national championships very recently as well. Here's where it gets a little tougher. And yeah. Here's where maybe like, I feel like that's a very fair top three. Maybe you shift the order around a little bit. Although I think Cignetti and Smart are clearly one and two in some order, but Ryan Day at number three, I think makes sense. Here's where it gets a little more interesting. Who do you have? Number four.
I'm going to say it's Sark, but they've got the Notre Dame guy ahead of him for some reason.
You can't guess two. You got to guess one.
Oh, I'm going to say Sark because I think it should be him.
I can't accept that.
Your other guess was right. It is Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's one of those two guys, and it's everything they want Marcus to be. He just hadn't quite got there. I mean, changing the fate of Notre Dame. I mean, what the hell is that? It's Notre Dame. It should be there.
Changing the fate of – I mean, Brian Kelly was the winningest coach they've ever had. It's not like Marcus Freeman walked into the worst situation ever.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's Notre Dame.
I know. I think he's a great coach. Oh, no, actually, Marcus Freeman has opted out of this list just like he opted out of the bowl game last year.
He decided he didn't want to be on this?
He don't want to be on this either, actually. No.
So he would be four?
He's number four for them. Yeah, CBS Sports has him number four. And again, I think you can make a case for him right there. Notre Dame, of course, played for the national championship 2 years ago. They got left out of the playoff this last year. A lot of people think they got screwed. Obviously, they think they got screwed. They didn't.
Of course they do.
They live in their own world. They play by their own rules. And they were public enemy number one until Texas Tech started doing what they did.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
As you called
turd in the punch bowl.
Oh, the punch bowl, not the fish bowl. The punch bowl. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Turd in the college sports turd in the punch bowl.
So Marcus Freeman, number four. Number five, what's your guess?
Sark.
I can't accept that.
Yeah. And that's not enough respect for him yet.
He's not far. He's right around where you're guessing. We won't take much longer to get to him. I think Sark should be ahead of this guy, for the record. But he's not.
Okay, who is it?
Dan Lanning. At Oregon.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's been really good. 48-8 in four seasons with the Ducks. Won the Big Ten 2 years ago. But in the playoff, I mean, they got embarrassed by Indiana. They weren't alone in the playoff. And they got embarrassed. Yeah, no, they did. They won a game against Texas Tech. They embarrassed Texas Tech, and then they got embarrassed in their second game after getting embarrassed last year by Ohio State in the college football playoff. But they have made it a couple of years in a row. He's won a conference championship. He's done a great thing. I mean, Oregon's got resources. They've got money. That Phil Knight money is no joke. But I don't know. You have Dan Lanning ahead of Steve Sarkisian.
No.
You would put Sark ahead of him?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Steve Sarkisian's number six. I won't make you guess that one. Okay. So I think that four through six conversation is you can make cases for all of those guys. I mean, what's working against Sark, perhaps, is like Marcus Freeman's team made it to a national championship game. Sark hasn't gotten there yet. Dan Lanning won a Big Ten title. Sark did win a conference title. It was in the Big 12. We know that doesn't carry as much weight as winning a Big Ten title, and nor should it. We understand that. So maybe that's why those two guys are ahead of him, but that's your next tier right there with Lanning, Freeman Lanning, and Steve Sarkisian.
Okay, who takes out the rest of that? James Franklin's not in there, even though he's, you know, even though he got fired. He's not in that top 10, is he?
And this, I think there is a drop off after Sark at six. Yeah. And maybe you don't, maybe people think that there's, but I think there's a clear kind of top tier with Cignetti, Kirby, and Ryan Day. And I think there's a kind of clear second tier with those three names that you just mentioned, or I just mentioned.
Sure.
And then number seven, a guy we've criticized a lot on this show, but obviously coming off of a very successful season, and he definitely silenced some doubters, or at least quieted them for a moment. You want to guess?
It's not Turd in the Punch Bowl guy, is it?
McGuire? No, you got to score a point in the playoffs to get.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, this would be Mario Cristobal at Miami.
Yeah, Mario Cristobal, and then the old Miss coach. He'll be in there, too, in that second tier.
Yeah, so you're 7 through 10. I'll just give you the list right now. Mario Cristobal at Miami is 7. Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, even though everybody wants to fire him, is 8.
That dude was just a game or two away from being in that top echelon, I believe.
Yeah.
But now, since he's at Bama.
I know. Well, like I said, we've talked about these kinds of lists in the past, and every year I've been like, well, he should be ahead of Sark. He's 2-0 against Sark. Like, he should be ahead of him. But you know, Bama, the standards at Alabama are the standards at Alabama.
And he just wrecked that.
They're ready to, I know, they won a playoff
game. He's in a playoff game, I know.
They won one on the road. They're the only team to ever do that, and they still think he sucks. I'm glad he's in the top 10. He's still a top 10 coach in college football.
For sure.
Much debate there. Number 9, Lane Kiffin, now at LSU. I assume you were talking about him and not Pete Golding, the new
one. No, Lane Kiffin.
The Lane train, and then Kyle Whittingham at Michigan now. Longtime Utah coach who took the job in Ann Arbor. He's number 10.
Boy, is that going to be interesting to see how he does at Michigan.
Yeah, I'm not as high on Kyle Whittingham as a lot of folks. I mean, look, what he did at Utah for years is very, very impressive, but he hasn't really won anything of super significance. Now he's got all the resources he needs because Michigan will spend whatever, so we'll see what he does, but I don't this feels lifetime achievement-y versus what he's actually done in recent years. Speaking of lifetime achievement-y, we won't go down the list, but it's just interesting that Dabo Swinney is now at 11. And 5 years ago, he was number one or two, I guess, behind Nick Saban. So number two. And then now it's like he's probably too high at number 11.
Yeah. How about I'm a man. 40. That guy was probably up at the list for a little bit.
Well, that guy's
probably nowhere, 20 what?
Well, he's fired. He doesn't have a job.
Yeah, but what would he be on if in your mind, where would you put him? Where would you have ranked him?
Considering they went 3-9 last year, well outside of the top 25.
But over the last 10 years of coaching, would you have ranked him as one of the pretty good college football coaches?
Yeah, he'd be in the top 20, I think.
Okay, maybe 15. Top 15.
Again, it depends on when you asked. Like,
yeah, like James Franklin. Where's James Franklin? Is he on that list at all?
James Franklin's 13 on the list.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, but 2 years ago, James Franklin was in the playoff semifinal. 2 years ago, Oklahoma State was 3-9. He got fired. This past year, he was 1-2 before he got fired.
Right.
I mean, he had that great year in 2023 where they won 10 games and played for a Big 12 title. But, I don't know. He did a lot of good things at Oklahoma State. But when you're fired, you don't get on these lists, Buck. That's how it works.
Yeah, you don't get a chance to get on. It's too bad. Because I would have thought he would have been in the top 15 coaches, college coaches over the last whatever. I know if you get fired, you're done. But, you know, James Franklin got fired. But like you said, he was just in the damn playoffs.
So I will, I'll let you guess. We won't go down this whole list here, but I'll let you guess where Mike Elko is, where Brent Venables is, and then where your guy, Turd Bowl, Joey McGuire, is.
I'm going to say Turd Bowl is in the top 25 now.
I love how that's the nickname we're giving him now.
He Turd Bowl, Turd Bowl University. Every university has its outstanding. Boston College, the miracle pass of Doug Flutie. Texas Tech is now the turd in the punch bowl of college, period. It doesn't matter whether it's sports, academics. They are that turd that just shows up. You know, you're at the prom and mom has made a wonderful punch for the prom. And then there's one guy that comes in, drops his drawers, and puts a big turd right there in the punch bowl. He just happened to go to Tech. He was going to go to University of Texas Tech. That's where he was going to go.
Did that ever happen to you?
No, there's a lot of things that never happened, but would that surprise you if a Tech grad was at the wedding and just dropped trowel and dropped a turd in the bowl?
Oh, now you're going wedding, not prom. It'd be very creepy if prom, Tech wedding, grad.
Anything.
Well, I don't want Tech grad going back to the high school prom. That's very creepy there. If it's guy going to Texas Tech, like he's a senior in high school and is about to go to Lubbock, then all right. But
you
I don't
can
want
to see that. Yes.
Yeah. No, if there is anybody who is going to drop a turd in a bowl of punch anywhere, it's, I don't know about Texas Tech grad. It's just someone who went to Tech and flailed
probably
out after a
probably
year.
Not graduating anyway.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the people who go there don't end up going. Some of my best friends fit that bill. Love you guys, but you know, it's not really a high end academic institution, but they do judge meat very well. They can judge a man's meat. That's for sure.
Meat judgers.
And apparently they take dumps and punch bowls too.
Yes. Oh, that's so gross.
Yeah. It's a gross thought.
They are the University of Dumpsters. Now they're the dumpster fire of all the universities.
Well, the leader of the dumpsters, the leader of the turds, Joey McGuire, number 21 on this list. He was number 48 last offseason, moved up a good chunk. Look, they made the playoff. They won the Big 12. They brought in a great transfer portal class. And they found a way to become the first school ever to get a gambler to start at quarterback. So maybe they deserve some credit for that. So there's Joey. True.
What about Arizona State, that dude where he took off to? Where's he in that list?
Who, Dillingham?
Yeah.
22, right behind Joey McGuire.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. I mean, he couldn't beat out Joey McGuire, huh?
What about Elko and Venables, sir?
Venables is 27.
Ooh, outside of the top 25?
Yeah. Elko's got to be 24.
Okay. Well, you're pretty close. So there's two different articles. It ranks the top, 67 coaches in Power Four college football. I guess 68, because you got to throw Notre Dame in there for some reason. And Brent Venables is not in the top 25. There's an article for 1 through 25, and then there's one for 26 through 68. And Venables is number 28. So you're very close there. I know OU fans aren't real happy with that ranking. And Mike Elko, you undersold him a little bit. He is number 14.
Ooh.
Made it to the playoff. Only needed two seasons to do so. 12-4 in the SEC in his first 2 years. 0-2 against Texas, of course. But Elko in the top 15, well ahead of burnt vegetables.
What about our guy from Duke? Duke has come up.
Our guy from Duke, Manny Diaz.
Manny Diaz. Where's Manny Diaz ranking what he's done for the Duke program over the last couple of years?
Is he our guy?
He's our guy. Manny's our guy as long as he's at Duke.
All right. I know he coached at Texas for a little bit. Not the best ending to his time in Austin. Manny Diaz, 30.
Okay.
They won the ACC last year at 7-5.
Then that's how he got to be 30, as a matter of fact.
One of the weirdest seasons of all time, and it just goes to show you what the SEC has turned into.
God.
The All-Cupcake Conference, or the All-Cuck Conference.
Yeah, I kind of like what Sonny Dykes is still continuing to do there. He'd probably be in the 30s somewhere.
Yeah, you're trying to guess everybody here?
I'm just trying to – there's certain guys that I think are good coaches that have done some nice things for their program that I think have made the top 40 list, and I think he would be one.
Sonny Dykes, SMU, 26.
SMU's guy.
Rhett Lashley, 15.
What, 15?
15.
Okay.
Interesting.
Stop with that cupcake league.
Yeah, the ACC. That'll make
anybody. That's way too many of the top 25s even in there.
All right. Where's Lincoln Riley at? Last one here before we get to the BBK news. Lincoln Riley at USC, number 17. Yeah. They really ought to make the playoffs soon, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I was thinking of that. I said, it's USC. Shouldn't they make the playoffs?
They were close in the four-team era. All they had to do was win a Pac-12.
Dude, no kidding. They should stay with that. Why would they come to the Big Ten? They're never getting there now.
I don't think Lincoln Riley wanted to join the Big Ten. I think part of the reason he left OU was because he didn't want to join the SEC. He wanted that easier path. And, well, he didn't get it at USC. So he'll be at Clemson next after Dabo or something.
Could be. I mean, after playing Washington State twice a year and then playing Washington, that's it. They had it so smooth. And now they've got to deal with Illinois and Cignetti and the rest of those games.
Don't throw Illinois in there, sir.
Yeah, come on, man. The big man at Illinois getting it done.
Brett Bielema, the big man.
Big man's getting it done at Illinois.
You're not respecting his big enough, just calling him the big man. That ain't accurate, sir.
Gosh.
All right. Well, there you go. There's your coaching list, according to CBS Sports. We finally got to it. Steve Sarkisian, number 6. Top 5.
In my mind, I was putting him at number 3 or 4.
I don't think you can go higher than 3 or higher than 4, I should say. Could you make a case for 4? Yeah, but you can't put them ahead of Cignetti, Smart, and Day because they've all won national titles. And Sark,
I agree.
Hopefully next year, Sark's in the top 2 or 3. That'd be nice because that means he's won a national championship.
Absolutely. All
right. We'll take your thoughts. The Dakota text line 512-222-9328. We'll get to the BBK news in a moment. Before we do that, though, Buck, how about our final round of sponsor? Shout-outs.
Shout-out to our friends over at Woods Comfort Systems, folks. For 70 years in Central Texas, they have been getting it done with heating and air conditioning. And now they're doing plumbing, indoors and outdoor plumbing. If you have any of those needs, please call on the folks at Woods Comfort Systems. They know how to do it. They definitely know how to work the air conditioning systems for sure. And right now you can get $70 off of AC or plumbing repairs with Woods Comfort Systems and 0% financing for 36 months on select Bryant systems. I love my air conditioning system from Woods. Man, for the last 5 years here, I've not had any problems, knock on woods, because I don't want anything else to happen ever with that thing, because it is about to get warm around here. Oh, yeah. And my system is working properly. You know, it's at the exact temperature that I set it on. Nothing changes about it. And if you have any problems, do call on them. Their technicians are fantastic. They'll get to you as quick as possible. Once again, do trust them for your plumbing needs. Also, Woods Comfort Systems, nobody does it better.
Nope. 70 years, like you said, woodscomfortsystems.com, or give them a call, 512-842-5066. And nobody does it better than Qualis Roofing and Construction. They are your go-to trusted roofers here in Central Texas. Don't just take my word for it. Google them. Tons of 5-star reviews online. They do residential roofs. They do commercial roofs as well. And we've had a lot of rain around these parts. And I keep saying it. It's not just hail that can damage a roof. Rain, heavy winds, random debris flying around. All of those things can take its toll on your roof. And the roof is the most important part of your home. You don't want to leave that to chance. You want to make sure that your family is safe. Qualis will come out to your place for free. They're not going to charge you. A lot of companies out there, yeah, you want us to look at your roof. Well, you know, gas is expensive and manpower and all. Qualis will come to your place for free. Free inspection, free storm assessment, They'll get on the ladder. They also have drones that will take pictures of everything. Their technology is second to none. And then they'll let you know. And maybe there is a minor problem going on. Well, you want to get that taken care of before it becomes a major problem that costs you a ton of money. Or maybe nothing's wrong with your roof. You still should have it inspected every year. That's not their rules. Hell, the insurance companies tell you you should have it inspected twice a year. Qualys will do everything right there for free. And then again, if something's wrong, they'll help you file an insurance claim. They've got your back. Great people. They do great work. QualysGC.com, 512-257-0033. All right.
Getting it done, brother.
The Ride Project.
Of course, still donating to TheRideProject.com. The ride is over with, but Matt King is still getting that money out to folks that need. Folks in need. I mean, he must have some money left over because he still wants to get it to folks. And now he's back home. So there's some communities around here that can use the cash for sure. And yep. Matt King will get it done. He's a fantastic guy. Folks, please go to TheRideProject.com and continue to give. Yes. We love what he did. He will be doing more because that's what he's all about. This is a guy who likes to do more. He doesn't like to do less, or he doesn't like to do average. Believe me.
Doesn't like to do average. TheRideProject.com. And speaking of not liking to do average, McCall Custom Homes.
Absolutely.
Our guy, Mike McCall, Custom Home Builders and Remodelers here in Central Texas. A-plus rated by the BBB. Tons of experience. We trust them with our places. You should too. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. Call Mike or text him, 512-633-9580. All right, the BBK news here, Buck. We pretty funny audio here. Forgot to play this yesterday. But a hilarious moment from the Inside the NBA halftime show during game three of the NBA Finals. You know the show with Ernie and Kenny and Shaq and, of course, the great Charles Barkley. Well, they were doing their halftime show on site at the Garden on Monday, and Cardi B was doing a halftime performance on the floor at the same time. Most people know what Cardi B looks like, but in case you forgot, here is the rapper, Cardi B. Can't play the video of this here due to copyright rules, so here's your picture in case you, again, needed a refresher. It's safe to say that Charles Barkley wasn't all that locked in on the game analysis on Monday night.
3-0 lead. We've been competing with Cardi B here. We lost. Hey, I don't know if those B's, that might be Cardi B's. I sure am, new lover. I'm pretty sure it all's on me.
I don't know who said that, but I know it wasn't
Chuck, you little dick. You can't get to me, Kev. I told you to.
He got the wrong initials.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they were glued in, huh?
Yeah, those aren't Cardi B's. Those are Cardi D's right there.
No kidding.
And yeah, hey, Chuck, what do you think of the first half of this must-win game for San Antonio? She's got her initials wrong, that halftime performer.
Yeah.
They ain't B's right there that I'm looking at.
Oh, no. I did see her outfit for the halftime. That was unbelievable.
Yeah,
she's an entertainer. She's an entertainer.
She is an entertainer. I'm not the biggest fan of her music, but look, she sold a lot of records. And, I mean, she's had all sorts of – off the field drama, if you will. I mean, she's dated. Well, she's told stories about drugging and robbing men back when she was a stripper in the past.
Back in the day. Back in the good old days.
Dated Stefon Diggs. Dated Offset from Migos. She's sounds like Charles Barkley would also like a piece of that at some point if he gets the chance.
No kidding.
Want to get to this story here. Buck, you are a final story today. You are a fan of coffee, correct?
I'm a fan. Yeah, I'm a fan of coffee, different types of coffee. I don't stray too far from my Starbucks stuff. I'm not a connoisseur of going to different places. I'm a local, you know, I like to help people locally.
Well, there's a lot of local coffee shops that aren't Starbucks. You don't like any of those?
I like the friendly atmosphere when I go to Starbucks.
Okay. So you go out for coffee, what, most days, but it's always Starbucks.
Yeah, I don't go to coffee different. I don't go to my wife will say something about a coffee shop. Why don't you try this or try that? I'm like, I just want coffee. I'm not going there for entertainment, but I'll try some different spots.
Perhaps this will change your mind because there's sort of a new phenomenon. And this is a place that's in L.A., but there's not just one in L.A. These are starting to pop up sporadically around the country.
Yeah, because I like coffee, but I'm not going all the way to L.A. for my coffee, no.
That's understandable. That feels a little ridiculous. How about a bikini coffee shop, Buck? There's a place in L.A. called Tan Lines that has gone mega viral because it's a bikini coffee shop, like exactly what it sounds like. The baristas are serving coffee in bikinis. Here's a picture for you of a couple of employees at Tan Lines in L.A. Yeah, you're getting real close to get a good look at this, aren't you? Would you go to a place like this?
No, I've already been to our donuts. I mean, I've done it with donuts, so. And the strippers, I mean, the waitresses at our donuts, they had maybe tan lines, but they didn't have where they had, you know, had C-sections. I'm not going to that one, no.
You're saying those two women that we just showed have C-sections? Here's another.
First of all, is that here. One on the left? I was trying to figure out with the first one on the left. Was that actually a woman or is that a guy who decided he wanted to be a woman?
Oh, my God. Here's the picture of the first one again. Accusations for?
I'm just saying it just looked like somebody that wanted to make that move. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I'm saying, but that's all right. No, I've been to our donuts, and once you go to our donuts, you never go back. You know what I'm saying?
That was totally topless, right? Not bikinis.
No, there was no bikinis. That was. Topless donut shop.
Okay. This is not topless here. I feel like that kind of place would be illegal, unfortunately.
And I brought my boss into that place.
So yeah, that was a weird bit. He was not happy with you, right?
Oh, he didn't talk to me on the way back on the air from Florida all the way back to Austin. But he did enjoy it. He did have he was smiling when he was in there. So I don't care how mad he decided he wanted to try to be. It wasn't working on me because I saw him smiling.
Your boss being John Makovic, of course, at the time. So you wouldn't go here. No, like if one of these places opened up 5 minutes from your house in Dripping Springs, you wouldn't veer off your subway path, your Starbucks path to go to a bikini shop.
No, those girls don't look that. They don't look that good to me. That's not going to do it. You know,
so if it's just you need better looking baristas.
Yeah, you got to do better than that. Yeah. You just well keep your clothes on and talk to me instead of trying to do that.
This is the restaurant of coffee shops. I mean, here's another picture here. Got a few tattoos, some ink on these two ladies.
Yeah, I'm coming for coffee. I'm not coming. If I want to go to the arts school of art, I'll go somewhere else. I don't need all that.
You're coming in with the blindfold. I don't want to even look at y'all. Just give me some coffee, please, and I'm out of here.
I definitely go in there with my sunglasses on so they can see my eyes.
I can only imagine the creepy customers that these ladies get. Not you. I mean, you're just going in there calling them ugly as hell, but, you know, some guys are going in there trying to hit on them, and I'm sure they get good tips.
They do.
No pun intended. So I see the appeal, I guess, of working at a place like this versus working at a Starbucks or any other coffee joint. But I don't know, man. I'd have to check it out. I'd have to check it out myself, sir.
Well, you'd go in one time. And once trying something once, you're just experimenting. That's all. You want to see how you fit in socially with those folks.
Hey, if the coffee's good, I'll be going back, you know.
There you go. It's all about the coffee.
If the barista's good, she treats me good, I'll tip her.
There you go.
I'll give her a couple of tips.
Nothing like good treatment. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing like good treatment. Nothing wrong with that. I'm with you. So there you go. So you're out on Tan Lines. No bikini coffee shops for the bar.
No, no thanks. Like I said, when I become a prude. I was crude enough by going to Our Donuts.
30 years ago. You need some better stories, guy. Quit living in the past here, Cowboys.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it is a great story, but it's time for some new ones here, sir. I don't know. We'll see. Next time I'm in LA, I'll make that happen on behalf of
make that happen. Hell yeah. Let us know.
Got you. I'm sure the girlfriend will be thrilled with
she won't be.
A new local coffee shop. Babe, I got you. It's great. It's got great reviews online. Just pull into that spot. Try that with your wife.
That's not gonna work.
Not gonna fly. No. All right. Well, that will do it for a Wednesday show. I'm trying to forget what day it was. Wednesday show. Thank you all for tuning in. Thanks to Chip Brown and Ben Wright for joining us. We'll talk more Texas baseball tomorrow. Plenty more NBA finals, obviously, tomorrow as well. And we've got a couple other fun stories already in the hopper for the BBK
news. Sweet.
Thank you all for tuning in. Great show, my friend. Go hit them straight today.
All right, buddy. Hook them.
Talk to you all tomorrow. Hook them.